Evan.
My biggest fear is eggs.
Eggs?
Birds, really.
What came first, the egg or the bird?
That either way, I'm frightened of both, just like our old pal, not our pal, MJ.
Not our pal.
Not our pal. But those of you guys that are listening are
but
our pals.
We're pals too.
We are?
Yeah.
Usually we're kind of on again, off again pals.
Yeah, today we are.
But welcome to Batch Please. I'm Evan Delaney.
I'm Allison Gunnell.
And we are going to tell all about the Women Tell All from last night. One of arguably our least favorite episodes of the whole charade, right? Because last night brought up just a bunch of old wounds, toxicity, drama, stuff that we didn't want to relive. But then they also sprinkled in some stuff that we've never seen before that makes you wonder, why didn't they do this earlier?
Yeah.
It's a frustrating night.
It is. For so many reasons.
I guess we can start at the very top. So what I thought was really interesting about the episode was the opening, I guess, crawl at the bottom that said, previously recorded February 4th, 2021.
Yeah, that was so weird.
And I think that was to address the situation with Chris Harrison. And that's the most, like...
It was
The way they did it is like, oh, if you know what happened, this is why we're putting this here. If you don't know what happened...
It was clearly because... I mean, and usually that's about right. They usually film it about 3 weeks or so before it airs. But, yeah, it was obviously because they knew everyone would be like, why is Chris there? Why aren't they addressing anything? Why didn't anyone bring up the Rachel thing? Why didn't anybody bring up all this stuff? And obviously because it wasn't a thing yet.
And I don't know if that was, like, a sufficient way to to introduce that... you know, the surrounding discourse. But that's what they did. And they're not really known for making good decisions on this show. So I'm not surprised.
No.
To say the least. But here's a couple things that we learned. Victoria hasn't changed one single bit. Still the same. If you hear different grunts and groans and aches and pains this episode, because Allison is dealing with a debilitating back injury.
I'm doing my best.
She's doing her best, and that's all we can ask.
Yes.
Speaking of doing your best, I want to get to that later, because there's a phrase that some of the girls said last night that bothered me, and it was about doing your best. But we'll get to it in a little bit. But there's still definitely a lot of tension between the girls, mainly the drama stirrers of Victoria, of Anna in a way, Serena C.
Yeah, honestly, everything pissed me off, so I'm a little heated about all of this.
Oh, let's go. Heated because your back pad is on
too
hot?
Yeah, because I've had a heating pad resting on my back for 4 days when it says you should only have it for like 15 minutes.
Okay, so what? Tell all, Allison.
Okay, so many things. A, the fact that Victoria, I thought for sure, like, if this person is real and this is how she actually behaves, she's going to watch the season and she's going to be, like, appalled. And she's going to be so apologetic of how they... Or she's going to say, this was a bad edit, that's not me. She straight up did not, like, apologize for anything. It was just kind of, like, started being emotional, saying she was dealing with stuff, and why is everyone so sensitive, and, like, just...
she goes, no, I'm just asking if you're sensitive.
Right. And they're like, you're literally, like, bashing us for saying we're too insensitive, and... Or we're too sensitive, and... She just had no remorse. Like, she stands by everything she said and did. And I hope we don't see her on Paradise, because there's a difference between, like, a character that's entertaining for Paradise and someone who's just not nice.
Right. And for listeners of the show, you know that I've kind of gone in and out of being entertained and appalled by Victoria. And last night was kind of in and out of both, but I definitely leaned towards the appalled side.
Yeah.
I know that Victoria has probably been the subject of a lot of hate DMs and, like, social
media.
Which,
to be clear, is never okay.
Never okay.
It's never okay. I mean, she said she was getting death threats.
Right,
and, like,
which is
people
unacceptable.
It's never okay to send people death threats. I don't ever think it's okay to DM people to body shame them. She's also had a lot of body shaming.
Right.
Also, absolutely never okay.
Right.
Regardless of how people look on TV or if you like them or don't like them.
Yeah.
But
she's clearly a bully.
She's clearly a bully.
She clearly has no remorse for what she's done. She definitely didn't want to. I think a worse feeling to her is the feeling of I did something wrong.
She never
wants to have that. And so she's just doubling down on her behavior, which
is absurd.
To Katie's point, karma, some of it's karma.
So, yeah, speaking of other things that are absurd, I was very surprised at how the women really went after Katie about how she's the only reason there was drama. There was no drama until Katie's the one who uncovered it and all of this, which is, I thought it was pretty awful. I mean, they were really going after her, saying that it was her fault and all this. And I saw a lot of stuff on Instagram today from Mari and from Serena C, basically saying, like, and Chelsea saying, like, we didn't see everything, and that, like, Katie was actually really problematic in the house, but they wouldn't show that because that wasn't the edit she got, but, like, they know the truth about her and all this.
There's veracity to the point that we have not seen all of the footage.
Correct.
However, it's really hard for me to take even what I saw, and I consider myself a pretty good judge of character. I have a hard time believing that what I saw, and what I saw from Katie, was she did the vigilant thing and the right thing of squashing bullying, of squashing drama, of squashing just inappropriate behavior. And she acted like the bigger person.
Yep.
To call up Michelle Obama, when they go low, we go high. To me, she went high the whole season.
Yeah.
And clearly, some of the behavior that was definitely bullying, that was at least, if not bullying, it was toxic, and that there seemed to be no problem around that. It was all directed at Katie, which I don't understand. I'm sure there's stuff we don't know, but I can't see it. To me, it's just everyone's like trying to validate their behavior.
I agree, and I believe it was Katie who even said, like, you all said what you said. Like, right. You said those words. No one made you say them. It's not about an edit. It's not about anything
even in
else.
An edit,
like,
it's like, oh,
you still said
in
those
that context,
words.
No matter what the edit probably was, correct. In that context, I'm sure it's not a good thing that you said that.
At least from a viewer perspective, from watching the season and obviously not having been there, not knowing what else happened behind closed doors, I think that it was a lot of the other women who were blatantly caught bullying, overcompensating, and trying to all kind of shift blame to make themselves look better and to feel less guilty about how horrible they acted on the show.
Yeah.
In my opinion, from what we saw.
Yeah, and when you talk to someone like Brittany, or when you talk to someone like Ryan, like, clearly there was a toxicity. Clearly there was. And they said the word bullying.
Yep.
I mean, what I thought was interesting during the season is that when Chelsea asked, like, oh, is this, like, actually, is this bullying? Is this a toxic environment? And she wasn't saying that to defend anything. She was saying it because, like, she didn't really know. Like, to her, it didn't seem that way. But she wanted to know.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time believing that you still don't see it that way.
Yeah, and did you notice, too, that, like, none of the quote-unquote new girls or the JV squad were the ones who were attacking Katie? It was
correct.
Only the varsity squad who was attacking her. It was Chelsea, it was MJ, it was Serena C, and it was
Mari.
It was none of the new...
Mari wanted to inject herself into a lot of situations.
Yeah.
We'll get into that in a little bit.
But it was none of the newer women... Who said that?
Right.
It was
the OGs.
Yeah, just the OGs, which also I think kind of says a lot. But you mentioned Brittany. Let's talk about the Brittany thing. So Brittany got a little sit down with Chris Harrison. She got in the hot seat. And usually that's only the hot seat is pretty much reserved for either large moments, like larger than the show moments that need to be discussed, or grooming people to be the Bachelorette. In this case, it was a larger than the show moment need to be discussed because, as we all know, Anna had kind of spread a rumor about Brittany being a escort.
Well, you know, Chicago's a small town.
Yeah, the third largest city ever. Yeah, and honestly, I have to say, as far as dramatic situations go, I like how this was handled. I feel like Brittany handled it.
She could not have
incredibly well, very maturely. I don't know how I would have felt or reacted if someone made that kind of rumor on national TV about me. So I think
what if someone made it on a podcast about you?
I would probably be a little bummed out.
Listen up, America. I'm just kidding.
You're canceled for that. I think that the way Brittany handled it in saying that, like, yes, it was wrong, But she doesn't want people to attack Anna, and she thinks it's not right that people are attacking Anna. And then Anna, she gave an apology, and in my opinion, I felt like it was a good, I mean, again, it wasn't intended for me, but from a viewer perspective, I think she did a nice job apologizing because she didn't try to make an excuse. And I think a big thing we see on these Women Tell All, Men Tell All is like a lot of excuse making. And Anna straight up said, like, there was no excuse. I was in my head and I did something hurtful and I'm sorry. And like, there's literally no excuse for it. And I hope that you can forgive me. And I'm really want the best for you. I'm sorry. And Brittany reacted well and she accepted it. And I think that they were able to kind of move past that.
Brittany handled it with the utmost class.
Absolutely.
She's someone who I think could actually end up on Paradise, but at the same time, I don't know if she would want to relive.
I think she's done
all of this. So I agree. I do think she's done. I wish that all the other situations were handled this way. The way that Brittany did it.
Unfortunately, they were not.
But they definitely weren't.
I also will say, again, not to give Anna too much credit, but that was the only real apology, I think, that happened.
Correct. Yes. I totally agree.
The only apology that had the words, I am sorry, I was wrong, no excuses were made, and, like, please, like, I hope you can forgive me, and, like, truly actually moved past it. And she even posted last night something about it, too, where she's like, again, like, there was no excuse. I don't want anyone to, like, defend that. Mm-hmm. And I hope that Brittany, you know, can move past this and be living a normal life and that people don't harass her over this. So I will say, like, people do make mistakes, and that was a big one, and I think it's nice that she acknowledged it.
And speaking of making excuses and such, that Victoria said this and MJ said this, and it was something along the lines of, like, oh, we were trying to be our best selves at the time, or, like, we were trying our best at the time. That makes
trying our best, but you acted like an
asshole.
That makes asshole.
No sense. No. That doesn't take into effect that people have bad moments. People are at their worst sometimes. Being accountable and being responsible for your actions is to admit that.
And people make mistakes. And like we said before, like, people make mistakes. And sometimes people say stuff that they didn't necessarily mean, or that they were in the heat of the moment. And that doesn't make it okay. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of about how you react to a situation and how you bounce back from it and learn from it, which all in everything that's been happening, it's about how you react to your mistakes, not not what happened. And it's very clear from last night who is learning from things and who is not.
Yeah, if that's any version of your best self,
that's a problem.
Boy. Oh boy.
I mean, I just know, like, for myself, like, I don't think I would do well in this environment anyway.
Yeah.
But I also know that, like, there's literally never a time where I would go on a show and be like, yeah, so-and-so is an escort.
Yeah.
Or call another woman disgusting and, like, other, you know, slurs that are nasty. Mm-hmm. I would never.
Yeah.
Regardless of how upset or mad I was, or if I wasn't being my best self. I mean, that's just not something I would ever do, and I don't understand how it's something they allowed themselves to do.
Yeah, I would definitely think about an hour of this episode was sort of picking at a wound.
For sure.
Between that and then just, like we kind of alluded to earlier, the knowledge of, you know, the Chris Harrison situation.
Yeah.
And it was weird. I didn't like it. But let's get to the more, I guess, positive elements of the Women Tell All. So we saw a ton of footage that we never saw in the season.
This was super frustrating.
And I wish we would have seen all of it.
Because we've said every single week how frustrating it is that we don't get to see some of the sillier moments and how all the dates suck.
Which is where the true personalities come out.
And apparently a lot of things happened that we never got to see.
They munched on pancakes.
Yeah, and there was like, what else was there? There was the bug. I actually thought the bug thing was funny. Like, reaching in to find the rings. It was because, like, while that's funny, unless you had a legitimate phobia, obviously.
Right.
I think it's funny.
Like a bags.
Right, exactly. I think it was funny because, like, obviously those are not things that are going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, while it's gross, it's not something that you're in danger for, but it's something kind of silly. I mean, these are dates that, like, we saw stupid stuff.
The hide and seek with Kit. Was
that was hilarious.
Like, how did that not... I don't understand how certain things make it in and certain things
don't.
But,
like, when Kit made as far as she did, I remember saying, like, we literally know nothing about her. How did she even make it this far? And it's like, well, there was obviously she had other funny things that we just didn't get to see.
Like, if I have to hear another conversation where one person says, thank you for sharing that, or,
oh, my God.
I like that.
Yeah,
instead of this, I'm tired of it.
And there was a whole thing with Tayshia and JoJo and, like, a hot...
She was just the bachelorette.
Thing.
How was she not in
this? I don't know how that didn't make TV. And what's super frustrating is I forget who posted this, and I saw something and it was so good. It was like, this season was about everything except for Matt James and his journey to find love.
Yeah, even on the outside.
Yes. Like, even everything about it, everything off the surface was about the drama of people and what they've done in their past or present. And then on the show was petty drama, literally, like, and legitimate drama.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like none of it was about Matt.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
I'm willing to bet the next season is going to look
very different. If it even, I mean, I think it will happen. I did see that they confirmed that they're filming. They filmed their confirmed filming location in New Mexico, which means another everyone's going to be super hot, literal sweaty ass season. but I think it's going to look very, very different.
And that's
and I'm kind of excited to see what that means, because like I'm so sick of the show and like this whole season has been so boring. Like I'm so sick of like I want to see fresh new activities and themes and less pitting people against it. Like I just want it to be fun. I want it to be fun.
We want this to be the best version that it can possibly be, both in terms of entertainment and inclusivity. And I think that's the direction it's going to head towards.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed. Okay. The other
which kind of leads us. Let's just. While we're talking about that, like, let's talk about that they have named a host that's going to host after the final rose.
They sure have.
And he, Emmanuel, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, so I'm Acho? Not going to. Acho, okay.
Bless you.
Emmanuel Acho, who, if you don't know him, he was a former NFL player. How I had heard of him was that he was an author of Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man,
which
correct?
I did not know that until yesterday when a friend told me. So I ordered the book right then and there. So
yeah,
it comes
so that's
in Amazon
been
tomorrow.
An incredibly popular book over the last several months with kind mm-hmm. of everything that's been going on since the beginning of summer, really, last summer.
Yeah.
So he's going to be hosting the After the Final Rose. So I want to tell you my only opinion about this. He seems like super cool. I'm really excited to like meet him and like all this.
He's very charismatic, very, very intelligent. I think he'll be a fun.
I'm sure he'll be super cool and everyone's really excited about it.
Extremely personable too.
And they haven't, usually they filmed that ahead of time, which they didn't this year because they're waiting on that. So my only thing that I was a little confused about by the choice is that I thought it would be someone related to Bachelor Nation just because like, did he watch Matt's season? Like, has he ever watched it? Like, obviously, we usually have Chris Harrison, who knows the show in and out. But I honestly thought it would be someone like a Rachel Lindsay or Mike Johnson.
I think Rachel is.
Rachel's probably like, see you later, I'm out.
Staying out of this.
But like a Rachel Lindsay or a Mike Johnson or someone else who has been vocal but knows the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little surprised.
Yeah.
Not pleasantly or unpleasantly. I just was surprised because that's what I expected.
Yeah. I think in terms of like, just from a TV standpoint, he's the talent. Like, he can definitely do it.
Yeah.
From the moment standpoint, you know, there's going to be some uncomfortable
sure.
conversations that are going to have
which
to happen.
Which he obviously is comfortable with based on his book, Uncomfortable
right.
Conversations.
I think he fits the moment better than possibly anyone that I can pull in from the ABC universe. Because he works with the ESPN, so there's that ABC connection there.
Yeah, I think that's the only connection that for me that didn't make sense is just that he's not connected to the show at all, which is probably the point, I guess. But I'm interested to see what it's going to be like and who's going to be on it.
And he's only 30 years old.
No way.
Yeah. So
always
I
makes you
wonder,
feel really unproductive with your life when he's like, I've already been in the NFL. I've already written an insanely popular. That's true.
So we got one up on you.
Not
brother.
Yet. Yeah.
Actually, he might have one.
He
I
probably
know,
does.
Actually, he has a YouTube series, which is basically a video podcast.
True.
Anyways, what was I saying? I forget. Okay.
Just that he'll be cool and it'll be interesting to meet him and see how it all shakes out.
I think if it goes well,
he'll be the new host.
I think he's the new host.
I wondered if they were kind of grooming him for that, but I wonder if he like has the time. Like, I feel like he's got a lot of other stuff going on.
To show up for 5 minutes of an episode and say, hey,
that's
ladies,
true.
This is the last rose, as if you can't count
that's
on your
fair.
Own.
That's fair.
All right, say your goodbyes.
Well, I guess we'll see. I'm interested to see who is interviewed on After the Final Rose. Like, will Rachel attend? Will,
I think she has to.
I mean, right, but like,
not
what
will
that look
like? Contractually, I think
like
she has
she
to.
She will, and I think based on her posts and what she's been posting, I think she genuinely would want to, and I
she'll
think she will
platform.
Want to have that conversation, because she said in her first, like, apology that she was going to do the work, and, mm-hmm. you know, we have, I mean, again, I know apology wasn't for us, but we've been seeing her be very vocal.
Yeah.
So very interesting, especially in the light of the fact that there's other people in Bachelor Nation now also being exposed for some pretty rough past situations.
I think Matt will definitely be there. I think it'll be reluctant. I think if Chris were there, I don't think Matt would
show up. Oh, Matt's definitely going to be there. They wouldn't do it without Matt.
Maybe.
For his season.
Based,
and he commented on the post Chris, saying how he was excited to see him.
Right, but I'm saying if it was Chris,
right, then he might not.
I think he would make a stand, which is good for him.
So, all right, that aside.
Can I, a quick one other thing. I don't know where she heard this, but my grandma says that Michael Strahan will be the next host.
Of The Bachelor?
She just heard things about it.
Interesting.
I don't know where her sources are.
So the Michael Strahan connection is A, that he also is on 1,000 shows and does everything.
GMA.
And he's, so he is on GMA, which is where they always announce the new Bachelor, the new Bachelorette. They always have like the first interview after the season finale.
And also Chris is going to be on GMA this week.
I did see that, which I'm also really intrigued by. So, you know, lots of stuff happening. We'll see how it all shakes out.
Yeah.
So really quick, we want to talk about some of the possible Bachelorette positioning, but Heather was there. Poor Heather. They made her quarantine, I assume, because everyone had a quarantine, and they didn't even show her on TV.
You saw glimpses of her blonde hair, and that was pretty much it from the back.
Which sucks. Like,
totally
the fact that she
framed her out, which, like, sucks, but at the same time, it's low-key.
It does.
Funny.
It is kind of funny, but it also sucks. There was also some. Sarah was missing, which I was surprised about.
I can understand that. I would assume that she opted not to go, A, because I don't think she wanted to relive.
Correct. And
based on the fact that no one seems to have.
Yeah,
changed.
I'm sure she didn't. Yeah, based on no one changing, I think that's
but
probably
also
for the
her,
best.
Her family situation.
Correct.
I mean, I'm sure she still wants to spend every time, every minute with her dad.
But Maggie was in there.
She's too cool for this.
She
show.
Is. She's so cool. Maggie's so cool. So speaking of other cool women, some of the women potentially that they kind of, again, like you said, like the hot seat is usually kind of a interview almost, I think, for the potential Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. So besides Brittany, who we talked about, we had Katie, Abigail, Serena P, and Piper. Those were the people that got the hot seat interviews.
And I think the way that you ordered them is sort of like, well, A, it was the chronological order, but I think it's how they're ranking, like, their Bachelorette positioning.
Yeah, I think
right
Katie
now.
Was definitely positioned in the best way for Bachelorette.
I think she lost points, though. I think she lost big points, A, because of how...
I think it's because none of the other women like her, which sucks, because that we don't know for like that that's on her, but it's usually a likable person that gets to be the Bachelor or Bachelorette. Not always.
Which I still hope it is for my...
Most of the time it is. So
my chances.
But now that they kind of like almost announced Katie and then almost unannounced Katie, I'm wondering if that's still the move or if more stuff's come out from filming of like, oh, wait, she wasn't that... I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
I think Abigail definitely got...
What an angel.
Mad points for... I kind of forgot about her as a potential Bachelorette person.
So I love Abigail. I think she's an absolute angel. It was amazing to hear kind of like her take on like how this has affected the deaf community and how she's not really sure what community she fits into, but how she's gotten overwhelming positivity.
Very informative too.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know about her for Bachelorette.
It'll be a Matt situation where
I think she's an amazing person.
A gem of a human.
But I don't think it's going to be entertaining TV.
At the root of all of this is still trash television.
Correct. And
so
I want,
like,
to be entertained.
I still want to have the progressive conversations. I still want to have the inclusivity.
But mixed
but
with
I
some
still
fun.
Want this to
and
be
some goofy fun.
I still want to go dumpster diving.
Correct.
Into reality TV sometimes.
Correct. I agree.
You can't accomplish both, ABC, I promise.
I totally agree. So then we had Serena P.
I think she also catapulted up there.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think she's that interested. I kind of think once she got far enough in the show, she was kind of like, I don't really think this is for me. And she kind of
ditched. I don't think it is.
But Matt still looked pretty broken up over their breakup. Mm-hmm. And it was like, do you feel like you made a mistake? And it was almost like she was trying so hard to cope with a nice way to be like, no way, Jose.
Right.
Like, I made the right choice.
Right. And then Piper, who I also don't think...
No chance.
They really talked about that breakup like it was something, and I was like...
I thought that was so weird. Chris was like, this was one of the most, like, heartbreaking, you know, heart-wrenching breakups, and I'm like, I feel like it literally wasn't. He was like, this isn't it, and she didn't even say a word and left.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it was that intense of a breakup at all.
I really like her. She's super cool. I think she's absolutely gorgeous, too.
Well, obviously, yes.
I could see her being a paradise...
Maybe, yeah.
...powerhouse. But yeah, I think right now it's a coin flip between Abigail and Katie.
I think it's still Katie. If we're actually, but if he picks Rachel, I think it could be Michelle.
Ooh.
I think that could be the twist. It could be Michelle, and I hoped, I really wanted to be Michelle.
Look, if it's Katie, Abigail, or Michelle,
you're again, in there. Either way.
Smash that apply or the nominate button for me.
It was Jason Tardik, who is dating Caitlin Bristow, tweeted last night, and he was like, Abigail for Bachelorette, Michelle for Bachelorette, Katie for Bachelorette, that's it. And I was like, I agree.
So, away from Bachelorette, this is also kind of your chance to grandstand for Paradise. Mm-hmm. I don't actually think many people from this season, I think MJ is going. I think Mari's trying to get herself a ticket there.
I think so too. She was trying to be like super relevant in every conversation, right. And I don't really know what that was all about. I think Piper could definitely. If Katie's not Bachelorette, I think Katie.
I could also see Serena P doing it.
Maybe Serena P. I don't think like Victoria. I don't think Anna. I don't think any of the people that actually
I think Anna's
like
done
made some pretty. Tough
I
decisions.
See Ryan maybe going.
I don't know.
It's hard to tell. This was such a weird season.
It was so weird.
And the like person-to-person relationships in these were really
It was
really
all bizarre.
Up.
This whole season was kind of like a fever dream, honestly. Like, it was just like a weird situation.
Yeah.
What else was weird was Matt's beard.
Yeah, he's rocking the unkempt. It's like if you mix James Harden and Castaway.
Literally, he was James Harden. And I think what was so funny is, like, everyone on Twitter and like was like, that's a single man's beard. Like, dude is single.
Yeah.
Which, if that is true, then that means that he was single before any of the dramatics of the past month came out.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was some of that information kind of lurking around that he might have been privy to.
But it also might have nothing to do with that at all.
It also might have nothing to do with it, so I don't know.
I'm not sure, but I'm not. I don't know, like, about the beard. It's an interesting look. I support his decision to have one.
He needs to, like, trim it a little bit.
It was, like, a little too bushy. Like, for how skinny of a face he has.
Yeah.
Because he's a very skinny-faced guy. Like, James Harden does not have a skinny face like him. So it looked a little off.
It was a little strange. Speaking of a little off, I love that they showed the montage of him kissing with his eyes open.
Oh my God. I love that we're continuing to roast him for that. And I think it's so funny.
It's roastworthy.
It is so funny. And he's like, I didn't know. I'm like, how did... Then you literally have the worst, like, friends and significant others who have never told you.
Yes.
Like, that's tough. Because how do you not know you do that? Or how has this never come up in conversation?
Yeah. And actually, I think that is going to lead us into the roses pretty well that we need to give out. Because one of these has to do with... With that one.
Take it away, Evan.
In your debilitating pain, I'm sure you had plenty of time to come up with some.
I had plenty of time. I didn't come up with any.
Only laid down on the couch all day.
Yeah, but
so I'm giving the Clockwork Orange rose to Matt. There's that iconic scene from Clockwork Orange where they have the guy's eyes wide open and make him watch all that stuff. And that's how he kisses, like he's in Clockwork Orange. And the other one is the Starbucks cup in Game of Thrones rose. Do you remember when that happened?
I do, yes.
Okay, that's going to Heather. So they tried their damnedest to hide her.
But we saw you.
But we saw her.
We knew
she was
there.
We knew she was there. So better editing next time, ABC. Before we get to our contact info, run down that cheese promo again.
Yes. So again, the Cheesy Curator, they are a Cincinnati-based company, and you can follow them on Instagram where they post amazing pictures of their beautiful cheese boards. They're doing special cheese boards themed for the Bachelor finale. Evan and I will be indulging in one. Very excited about it. So please take a look at all of their beautiful, amazing pictures and order one for yourself.
And after you follow them on the grams, you can follow us at BatchPleasePod.
Yep.
And also on Twitter at the same handle. And also on email at the same handle, plus adding an @gmail at the end of that. Hit us up with your questions, your predictions, your thoughts, criticisms, witticisms, likes,
and
dislikes.
All of the above.
Your favorite cheeses.
Favorite cheeses. And next week we have Fantasy Suites.
Right. Right.
And then finale. And then this season will be over.
We need a little break. So you know what's interesting? A year ago today was the announcement that Claire was Bachelorette.
Yep.
That it was the Fantasy Suites Rose Ceremony, where we just got down to Maddie and to Hannah.
Oh my God, of Peter's season.
We had an episode come out on March 3rd, which is tomorrow, today, depending on when you're listening to it. And then the whole world pretty much shut down. So
because they announced Claire, and then they were like just getting paused for 6 months.
Yeah.
So
we've been in a weird time hole where nothing makes sense and everything is the same. It's a Groundhog Day from hell.
Which hopefully is coming to an end soon.
We're hopefully out of it soon, but we've had some good Bachelor content. Looks like we're going to have some more in a couple months. I know you didn't watch it, but I hope they do Listen to Your Heart again.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
time.
That show.
It was a good time. They're also, they've been asking for seniors.
I've seen that.
I can already tell you we're not doing a podcast on that. I'm so out.
If they do winter games or summer games like they're supposed to, then maybe.
But yeah, so we'll be coming back next week and the week after.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you guys for listening.
Bye.